And happy birthday to my husband as well. He gets a twofer today. Happy birthday and happy Father's Day. Does that mean I have to buy him double the amount of presents? Something to think about on my way home. Hope you're having a good day. It is such a joy to finally see the sun. I don't know about you, but I was so happy to be woken up by sunbeams yesterday morning and this morning. And let's just hope it keeps on going. I know it doesn't look so good here in the Maritimes for this coming week. But, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, we're going to have a beautiful week because the plants are in desperate need of some long-term sunshine, as are we. So fingers crossed on continual sunshine. But for now, bask it up while you can. And we got a lot going on in today's show for you today. We're going to talk about some interesting things, some phrases that usually make people call in. If I say things like goutweed, usually the phone lines start to light up, or Japanese knotweed. We're going to talk about some invasive plants like these, some of which you can actually still buy in garden centers. Yikes. And we're going to talk about those. And we've been getting questions on these, such as, is goutweed edible? Well, we're going to tackle that in just a few moments when I'm joined by the online editor of Canadian Gardening Magazine, Tara Nolan. And Tara's going to talk about that, as well as one of the more popular posts that's been on the Canadian Gardening website in recent weeks is basically plants that help repel mosquitoes. It is possible. There are plants that repel mosquitoes. So let's find out what those are, because the mosquitoes are indeed now out. And I am not happy about that either. So let's talk about that with Tara in just a few moments. We're also going to talk to Peggy Ann, who owns Old Heirloom Roses in Halifax. This has been around for quite a while. And I tell you, every time I talk to people in garden clubs or, you know, people who grow roses, they tell me the best roses they've ever gotten have come from Peggy Ann. And she's just on the Pockwalk Road near Hammond's Plains there in Halifax. And I want to talk to her about this. You know, what kind of roses does she offer? You know, and what kind of roses should we be growing in our gardens? And how do we take care of them? How do we make sure they're going to be super healthy and, you know, not disease-ridden and insect-ridden? So I'm looking forward to talking to her. That's coming up at around 11:30. And then Crystal Godfrey is going to be in studio. She, of course, has been on the show before, Secret Gardens with Crystal. And she's going to talk about container gardening and a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, different color combinations, design techniques, different things that she does to create some of the most amazing container gardens I have ever seen. So Crystal's coming up in just a few minutes. And then also we're going to end the show with our tomato man. Craig LaHollier is going to join me from his home in North Carolina. And we're going to talk about how to avoid blight this year, because blight was a problem last year for some folks, and we don't want to see it this year at all. So how can we do that? Also, staking, pruning. Do we need to prune our suckers out of our tomatoes? How do we feed them? This is the time right now to be thinking about how to have the best tomato harvest ever. So he's going to tell us how to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. You can call us 1-877-801-8255 throughout the show. 1-877-801-8255. And also you can tweet me. I've got my little phone here in front of me. The handle is Nikki Jabor, at Nikki Jabor. So tweet me your questions or comments, ideas, thoughts, you know, whatever. Pictures of your garden, that would be awesome. I'd love to see some more pictures of your garden. Then all of our listeners can, you know, log on to Twitter and see the pictures as well. So feel free to Facebook or, you know, tweet us pictures of your garden. That would be great. But first, I am happy to welcome back to the show Tara Nolan. And again, Tara is the online editor of Canadian Gardening Magazine and a passionate gardener herself. Tara, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. And we're catching you in are you in Toronto?
I'm just about an hour outside of Toronto.
Which means you still could probably be in the city because it's such a big city.
Yeah.
And it was great. You and I got to connect this past spring. I guess it's still spring, but at Canada Blooms when that was going on in mid-March. That was fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah. Tara and I got to follow around Liz Primo during a preview of the show, and that was really fun too. Liz is awesome.
Yeah, she is. I know a lot.
Oh my gosh, she knows so much, doesn't she? And of course, yeah. Liz is the founding editor of Canadian Gardening Magazine. And you are the online editor. And every time I go onto Facebook or Twitter, you're sending out the most interesting little tidbits and tips and articles and information. And I always have to share them and read them. They're so interesting. How do you find such cool little things to share with gardeners?
I think, you know, we listen to our audience, so definitely social media. I always have my phone, handy and reading what other people are talking about and what their problems are in the garden, which is always a really popular one because everyone wants to know how to get rid of certain things or how to eradicate bugs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we really sort of try to have our ear to the ground and see what everyone's talking about.
And what kind of, for 2013, like you also cover things like trends and stuff. What are Canadian gardeners doing this year? I think edible gardening is still really popular. I'm seeing lots of beautiful container gardens. Are there anything different you've seen this year that we haven't actually seen in recent, you know, gardening history?
Well, I think we're going to see more about straw bale gardening. Joel Karsten has a great book out this year, and it's something that we identified as a trend last year, but you don't really see too much of it yet. But I think more and more, and we saw a little bit at Canada Blooms, that people are going to be using straw bales to garden.
And he actually joined me on the show for our kickoff show a month or
more
ago now. Yeah, he's fabulous, Joel. Oh, my gosh. What a good book, too.
Yeah, so things like that. And, edibles, definitely. I think people are growing more berries. Fruits and berries are a lot more popular. And I have a fig tree this year. I'm not sure if you've talked to Stephen Biggs lately, but he's got a great book as well. And so I was inspired to grow a fig tree out in front of my garage this season.
And you named it, if I recall.
I did. I named it Wilbur. Actually, my husband named it Wilbur.
Because I read your blog post on that. I too, have been inspired by Stephen Biggs, Biggs on Figs, as I like to call him. And I have a fig tree, too, now. And it's one of the ones that came from, we call it Superstore. You call it Loblaws?
Yes.
But they had brought in some hearty figs. So I ran out the first day they got them in. And I guess they sold out within days.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So
ours is Fortino's where we live as well, and they sold out too.
Oh, yeah, well, it's too bad. Hopefully they'll get more next year. But he said, when I talked to Peter Cantley, the VP for Superstore, he said the rootstock is actually hardy to zone 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll come back again next year, even if I leave it in the garden. So I don't know if I want to risk it, but I'm going to try, I think.
Well, mine's going to go in the garage so it can go dormant for the winter. I'm too scared to leave it out.
Great. Now you're making me a little more unsure. Again, we're talking to Tara Nolan, the online editor of CanadianGardening.com. Of course, you can find them at CanadianGardening.com, but also on Twitter, and it's CDN Gardening on Twitter.
Yes.
Sorry. Awesome. And on Facebook as well, of course. Lots of photos and information and articles on Facebook, too. Let's talk a bit about one of the articles that you had posted recently that really, caught my interest, mainly because I can't believe I have to say it, but I have a gout weed problem. It's terrible. Yeah, and yes. I come in this morning to the studio. Scott Simpson was just leaving after his Maritime Morning Show. And what does he put on the background for a screensaver of my computer but a picture of gout weed?
Oh, that's funny.
It's hurtful. It's not nice. Scott's not nice. I'm going to get him. But yeah. Exactly. Because, gout weed, when people used to ask me about it, I would just say, you should move.
Yeah.
And I'm tempted, I got to say. It's one of those things. I got it from a friend, a plant, and I didn't realize there was a teeny piece of gout weed in it. It went under the deck, so I didn't see it for about a year. And now it's decided to just flop over the whole, my whole new shrub and flower beds. And, it's one of those
things.
Very
rude.
Yeah. And you have gout weed too?
I do. I have gout weed. I have bindweed, which is also absolutely horrible. And I have garlic mustard.
Oh, yeah. I don't know a lot of people that have garlic mustard out in these parts, but I've heard it's really invasive.
Apparently, it's the purple loosestrife of the woodland. It's choking out a lot of native woodland plants.
Yikes, not good.
So people, there's actually, I'm on a lot of Facebook groups just in my area, and there's a lot of garlic mustard pulling sessions that they organize, and you can go out for a couple of hours with your gloves and pull garlic mustard because it's such a problem here.
And is that effective? I mean, it doesn't just break off and then just grow back again. Does that actually work, pulling it like that?
I don't think it has quite the root system that gout weed and bindweed do, but it does, I think, if it's flowering, then, you're going to get the seeds. And I think it's a little bit futile probably, but it's something that you can do right away and hopefully help the plants that are coming along.
Yeah, because gout weed
survive this year.
Yeah, it's one of the more common ones. And it's funny, last year I still saw it being sold in a nursery.
Oh, yeah. I saw someone had used it as a border along their cedar hedge when I was on a walk yesterday, and I couldn't believe it because, it was everywhere.
Yeah, and it's not one of those things you can easily get rid of. But
no.
We did have a question from Joanna, and she asked if it's edible, and it's true. It is edible, especially when it comes up in early spring. The young leaves, you can definitely eat those as a salad green. But, this time of the year when they're bigger and tougher, and I know yours are probably already flowering, but you've got a little more heat than we've had. Mine's not flowering, thankfully, yet. But you can actually then cook them as greens and cook them into dishes and stuff like you would spinach. Although
I've never tried that.
I hear a lot of people do it, and I'm thinking maybe that's the solution.
Well, I'm still curious about the garlic mustard because apparently you can make that into quite a delicious pesto.
Yeah.
But I have not done that yet.
Well, maybe that's what we have to do this afternoon, Tara. I don't know. I'll do the gout weed. You do the garlic mustard, and let's see what we think.
Sounds good. We'll tweet about it.
Yeah, we'll post blog posts and all that about it. And Japanese knotweed. I grew up with Japanese knotweed at my grandparents' house, and I always thought it was this magical plant that grew every week. It grew like a foot. And now I realize it's very invasive and it's a big problem. And it, too, is edible when it's really, really young. But is Japanese knotweed a big problem, too, in Ontario?
I don't think it's quite as big of a problem here. No, that's not one that I hear about as often.
Really? Because, I mean, even along the highway, there's big, long, you know, just drifts of it everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite invasive. And like many of these, were most of these kind of invasive plants brought over as ornamentals or edibles at one point?
They were, and then they just sort of caught on and spread. And lucky us, you know, now we're dealing with them in our garden. So many years later, and I think, you know, for a lot of them, the best way is to excavate, but, like, really excavate down, which, you know, who has the time or the energy to do that? So it's hard because, you know, you really want to get rid of it, but...
Yeah, so you're saying, like, either dig it out all the soil yourself and get rid of it and put fresh soil in. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of work. I think I'm gonna go with the smother method. I'm gonna take out the ornamentals I have in there, wash their roots off completely, which of course will stress them out, but nevertheless to try to save them and make sure there's no pieces of goutweed hidden within the roots. And then I'm gonna cover that bed with, I don't know, tarp, cardboard, old carpet.
Heavy black plastic apparently it's called solarizing, where you bake them basically. We have a Alberta-based blogger, April, and she was talking about solarizing her dandelions, which, you know, I guess are also a bit of a problem for some people, though I think they're a kind of a sign of a healthy soil because when their tap roots are so long, so, you know, and they're kind of pretty as well, aren't they?
And I always see them as bee forage. That's how I look at dandelions, you know.
As what, sorry?
As bee forage, something for the bees.
You know? Yes, exactly.
and then, of course, once they make their lovely seed heads, we just blow them everywhere, which is probably a mistake. But nevertheless, it's fun.
It is fun.
So pretty much when you have these invasive plants, because, you know, just pulling them, it's just mainly a lot of them, like goutweed or Japanese knotweed, you're just breaking off.
You're just making it worse.
Yeah, you're making it worse. So.
And I mean, I have bindweed, and I've decided to grow some fruits and vegetables along the one side of my house, and that's where my bindweed problem is. And every week I'm out there pulling it out because I don't have the time to excavate completely and go deep down. But the previous owner of the house had landscape fabric, so it just had this wonderful little network along the bottom of the landscape fabric. And I think it actually made it worse when, you know, generally the landscape fabric's supposed to keep weeds down.
Jeez, that's good to know. And what about other plants that we might buy that are invasive? Like, I know in my grandmother's garden as a child, snow in summer, you know, cerastium, that beautiful little low-growing, like, rock garden plant, took over everything. You know?
Lily of the Valley, pretty, and it smells, I mean, I have a little patch that was already there when I moved in, and smells heavenly when it blooms, but also a very big spreader.
Yeah, so I guess that one of the things is when you're putting in certain plants, or if someone gives you a plant, maybe if you're not familiar with it, Google it or look it up first, just to make sure it doesn't have, you know, if it says aggressive next to it on a plant tag or ground cover, or, you know, if somebody gives it to you and you look it up and it says aggressive or invasive, maybe be hesitant before you put it in your own garden.
Exactly.
And if a friend has goutweed and gives you a plant, put it in the composter.
Yeah.
Done. Lesson learned. Well, you know, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back more with Tara Nolan, the online editor of Canadian Gardening. And we're going to talk about, a very popular article she's posted recently about plants that repel mosquitoes, because that's something that I want more of, mosquito repelling. So we're going to talk about that with Tara Nolan in just a few moments. Back in a minute in The Weekend Gardener. Back on The Weekend Gardener, chatting to Tara Nolan of Canadian Gardening Online. You can find her, obviously, online at canadiangardening.com or on Twitter at CDNGardening or on Facebook. Lots of great tips and ideas and just inspiration for Canadian gardeners and gardeners beyond. If you're listening to us from the UK or the US, well, check out Canadian Gardening Online as well. And Tara, thanks for joining me today. It's always fun to talk to you.
It is.
Yeah. We could just, you know, talk over tea for the next 2 hours, for goodness sakes.
Sure.
But, you know, when I was talking to you about things that we should cover, you had mentioned that one of the more, interesting articles you've gotten a lot of feedback on the Canadian Gardening website recently is the one you posted about plants that basically are mosquito deterrents. Does such a wonderful thing actually exist?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's done well on Pinterest.
Really?
It's done well on Facebook, Twitter. It's just, people really respond to it. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I think it's because we all hate mosquitoes.
Exactly. It's like this great commonality that everyone has.
It's true. And, you know, they haven't been too bad. There's been a few black flies, but there's mosquitoes out now, you know, and they're just yesterday, even like the past week, I've been out there working in the garden and you come in and you're scratching, you've got lots of bites. So Well, I mean, do these plants, do you have to actually do things with them to make them repel mosquitoes? Or can you just put them in your deck or in your garden? Like, how do you do that?
A lot of them are just, you can just plant them around your garden, plant them around your deck, because it's the natural oils in them that the bugs don't like. So, and some of them, the bugs, the mosquitoes don't like them, but luckily the bees and the butterflies still do. So the natural oils just act sort of as a natural repellent, like a citronella candle almost.
Right, right. Because, I mean, you can get citronella candles. You can get these chemical things you can burn, you know, to send smoke and odors up around to repel them as well. So lemon balm, that is one, an herb. I know it's we're going to talk about invasive again.
Yes, actually.
It's a little bit aggressive.
I just bought some the other day, too, but I think I'm going to keep it in a pod.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those plants, herbs I always need to have. Because, I mean, I use it for tea, but it just smells so good. So if I take off some leaves of lemon balm and rub it on my skin, that might help repel mosquitoes when I'm working in the garden?
Well, maybe.
Wow.
I haven't tried it.
Yeah.
but I guess, yeah, that would probably perhaps work for you.
Well, yeah, and it smells like citronella because it smells very lemony. So even
it
if
does.
You, yeah, if you had a pot on the deck where you sit and you rub the leaves from time to time, that might help.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a few of the plants in the list, and so I'm just going to put them all around my deck and sit within a circle.
Yeah, see what happens.
Repelling plants.
That's what you can do, you know, meditate. And what ones, like, for example, on the list, there's things like marigold and catnip and basil and lavender. What ones did you pick up to try?
Well, I bought lemon balm the other day, so that one definitely. Basil, apparently the two that work the best are lemon and cinnamon basil, which I don't have, so I might have to sort of hunt around for those ones.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got lots of basil, but not the cinnamon or the lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
And lavender, which isn't actually in very close proximity to anything that I sit around, but I do have some lavender. Peppermint, apparently.
Yeah, I've heard that actually, peppermint. And even things like rosemary, anything, I guess, that's strongly scented.
Yeah.
Can be helpful. And I know citronella grass or, you know, of course, the scented geraniums that we've all talked about for years that are often sold as mosquito plants. I think if you have one of those on your deck as well and, you know, give it a rub every once in a while, it'll release the fragrance, which can repel mosquitoes too.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, but I never thought about, and it was in the article, you know, and some of the people had commented on the article online about taking things like the basil off of their plants and rubbing it on their arms and their neck and stuff to repel mosquitoes. And then that they find is quite effective.
I know, I need to try that before a hike one day.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking I'm going to get one of those mosquito citronella plants because where it's so incredibly fragrant, that might work pretty well if you rubbed it on your arms and your legs.
I would say so.
This is...
Actually, no, citronella apparently can cause skin irritation.
Oh.
So that's one that you shouldn't rub on yourself.
Going to make a mental note of that one. If people are just tuning in, they're probably thinking, what on earth are they talking about?
So let me. Plants.
Yeah. We're talking about plants with Tara Nolan from Canadian Gardening Online and trying to repel mosquitoes botanically, really. And marigolds, it's one of those things. There seems to be a lot of different types of marigolds. And I know some are better for repelling insects in the garden and, you know, some are just more ornamental. But these also possibly have mosquito repelling abilities.
Mm-hmm. They do. And catnip apparently has 10 times, it's 10 times more effective than DEET.
Wow. 10 times more effective than DEET. Catnip, not cat mint, catnip.
Catnip, yes.
Wow.
Did I say cat mint? Because I have that too.
I do too. I love cat mint, but catnip. And I love catnip and I used to grow it, but the cats would, it's amazing how they would just, it's like a magnet. They roll on it and it's crushed, but maybe in a container. Something to think about. Yeah, maybe. Catnip, 10
times. Hanging basket.
There you go. That's perfect. Hanging basket. 10 times more effective than DEET at repelling mosquitoes. That's amazing. And there was a natural repellent that was given in this article, too, people can make?
There was. You crush up the herbs with a mortar and pestle, and you can add it to vodka, believe it or not, and then put that, let it sit and steep for a while, and then put it in a spray bottle.
Oh, really? A spray bottle? And then you just use that like you would any insect repellent sort of thing.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
Keep it away from your eyes.
And your children.
Maybe don't drink it.
Probably not a good idea, I guess, especially because some of these plants might not be so edible.
Exactly.
But something to definitely repel mosquitoes is always a good thing. That's really cool. Well, people, again, can find information about these. I did put links this morning on Facebook and Twitter, but I will post them again so you can find them there. Or on Canadian Gardening Online. Just go to CanadianGardening.com and type in, you know, mosquito repellent, and this article will come up for sure. Or invasive plants. There's a lot of information there. Tara Nolan, thanks for joining me today. This is, as always, a blast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you take care. And hopefully if you get down to this neck of the woods in July or August, then you'll have to come in studio with me.
Absolutely. I'm hoping to.
That'd be great. All right. Thanks, Tara. Take care.
You too.
Talk to you later now. And again, that was Tara Nolan of Canadian Gardening Online. We're going to talk about roses in just a few minutes with Peggy Ann from Old Heirloom Roses. That's coming up on the show after the news.